Number of spiritual lessons we learned from Joash or Jehoash in the scripture. Remember, this was the king that could not stand on his own. Jehoiada, as long as Jehoiada was alive, the priest, and he was instructing him, man, Joash was pointed in a good direction. But Jehoiada died. And when he did, the princes came in and they made obeisance to Joash, or they seemed to humble themselves before Joash. But the Bible says of Joash that he hearkened unto them, and they went about worshiping in the groves, and the kingdom turned. And Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, spoke up and said, hey, you can't do this. You can't worship idols. And Joash was held responsible for murdering Zechariah, the son of the man that invested in his life and pointed him in the right direction. What happened to Joash? How did this go about? And amazing to me, something I've not seen in the Kings, we'll see it in the next one as well, that do good for a period of time, and then the end of their lives, they seem to cave in. They seem to turn in a different direction. They seem to reverse course at times. And Joash certainly did that. Number one, spiritual lessons from Joash. We need inner strength to live according to godly character, even when a godly influence is removed out of our lives. And we're teaching that last week, and I don't want to embarrass Jackie Edwards, but I talked to Jackie between Sunday school and church. She shook her hand and she said, Pastor, as you were teaching that lesson, she said, I can remember when I was in that position and I did not have godly influences in my life, and God showed me that I could live for God no matter what. She remembered it. She remembered the time. She told me, I remember that time where God showed me that with His help, I can live for Him with or without support from others, with or without somebody pushing me in the right direction. And boy, that's development. That's maturity. That's something special that God helps us with. Number two, from Joash's life, we learn that persecution of the righteous will bring trouble upon you quickly. And Joash was involved in slaying Zechariah the prophet. And within a year, the Bible teaches us, within a year, Joash was sick. Joash had trouble physically. And God, boy, don't touch righteous people. You know, I look in our society and you're going to attack the preachers in Canada. Watch out. Watch out. You know, I think of that passage in Revelation where the martyrs are up in heaven. And God's going to take care of the people that martyred. persecution of the righteous will bring trouble upon you quickly. Number three, God's mercy allows warning to come before destruction. One of the mercies of God is that He gives us warnings before destruction. Sometimes those warnings come through a prophet, like they did for Joash. All right? Sometimes those warnings come from somebody else's mistakes that we can learn from. And boy, somebody else made a mistake, and you know what? They were involved in something, and we were thinking about going down that same road or making that same decision. Whoa! Warning. It is the mercy of God to give us warnings before judgment. Isn't part of the gospel warning? There is a hell. Yeah? But you can avoid it. Doesn't Romans 3 give us, or Romans 6 give us that same principle? For the wages of sin is death. Here's what's coming, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's an escape route. How shall we neglect so great salvation? God's mercy allows warning to come before destruction. Number four, speaking up may get you in trouble. But when the Spirit of God prompts you, by all means, speak the truth. By all means, speak the truth. Zechariah, man, when he spoke up, he had no idea where that was going to land. Stephen, when he preached Christ, he had no idea that, you know, they're going to gnash upon him with their teeth and just stone him. But by all means, speak up. Speak the truth in love. and don't be afraid to speak up. You know, truth causes people to think. I always weigh this when I have to speak something that's hard, that probably will not see fruit of it right away. But it germinates something in somebody's heart that they have to think on. And it confronts something and it enables the Holy Spirit with something that He can use to change a life. And so we cannot be afraid to speak truth. And Zacharias is a good example in the life of Joash. Number five, refuse to be the next in line to let the standard of God decline. Refuse to be the next in line to let the standards of God decline. Joash had done some things, but then he compromised and let things decline towards the end of his reign. You know, it is very easy to take a step down from the previous generation in worship, in faithfulness, in commitment, in the holy personal convictions that previous generations held to. It is very easy to let that decline in our lives. Refuse that. Refuse that. Don't buy into that thinking. Number six. Vengeance belongs to God. Zacharias was going to die. They were about ready to kill him. And he said this. He said, "Lord, it's up to you. You have to requite it, or you have to manage this. Or God, you take care of this. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody's done you wrong. Lord, vengeance is yours. Vengeance is not mine. Let that thing go." All right. Number seven, instability is the result of not trusting in God. Instability is a result of not trusting in God. Just some lessons from the life of Joash as we study him. Turn in your Bibles, if you will. We want to go to Amaziah, and we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 25. 2 Chronicles 25. If you do not have handout number 9, I believe it is. Maybe that's not the right number handout. Somebody have the handout for Amaziah? 18. That's right. Number 18, and we'll look at Amaziah, who came after Joash, the ninth king of Judah, and the king who fell away. And just, if we've got one up here, Brother Jim. Anybody else not have the handout? Handout number 18, back here, Brother Tony. All right. Anybody else? Miss Annette over here. Anybody else? All right, I think everybody else has got one that wants one. Just some things about Amaziah. He reigned for 29 years over Judah. We find that in 2 Kings chapter 14, and we're talking about the years from 796 to 767. Okay, remember in a BC calendar, we're moving closer to zero. So he started in 96 and he reigned until 767. Began his reign at 25 years old. He was the kings of Israel at his time were Joash. Wait, we just had a Joash, right? We had a Joash in Judah. He's following the Joash of Judah. But as he reigns in Judah now, one of the kings that's going to reign in Israel is Joash. And this is where in the Kings and the Chronicles things can get really confusing. But during his 29-year reign, Jeroboam II is going to come to the throne as well. So Israel is going to have two kings that overlap during King Amaziah's reign. His child is going to be Uzziah. At least we know of that child. He may have had more children, but that will be his successor. Jehoash was his predecessor. And Yahweh is mighty is the meaning of Jehoash. There are some major events in what should be Amaziah's reign. One is he killed those responsible for his father's death. But he did not kill their children. I'll show you why he didn't kill their children from the scriptures in this study. Number two, he recruited Israel's help to fight Edom. Israel, northern kingdom, he recruited their help. That was a bad move. I'll show you why in this study. Number three, he was confronted by the prophet about that move, and he listened to the prophet. We don't have too much of that in the Kings, but we do have that in Amaziah's life, that he listened to the prophet. Number four, 3,000 men were slain by Israel on their trip home. So Israel was sent back. 100,000 troops were sent back. Now, I don't know in America how many times in my history that I've heard of movement of 100,000 troops. I mean, we'll move 5,000, we'll move 20,000 over. But 100,000 were meant. He recruited 100,000 from Israel. He heard from the prophet, don't do that. He sent them back, and on their way back, they went into Judah's cities, and they killed 3,000 of Judah's people. During his reign, Judah conquers Edom, and Amaziah retaliates against Israel and loses the battle. We're in 2 Chronicles 25, verses 1 through 5. Ben Hoxie, could you read verses 1 through 5 for me? 2 Chronicles 25. So Amaziah comes to the throne. There's a little bit of chaos. Joash's servants conspired against him, and they slew Joash. And as a result of slaying Joash, here comes young 25-year-old Amaziah, strength and ready to put things in order. And first thing of business we're going to do is those people that killed my dad, yeah, we're going to take care of them. By the way, for most of us, that would be a normal response. You kill my father, prepare to die, right? And so Amaziah does that. Now, when he does that, he does not take the children out because of the law of the Lord. And the Bible says it here in verse number 4, but he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. And Amaziah was careful to follow the law of the Lord. The Bible says he did as it is written. That's a great phrase to describe somebody. To do as it is written, as the Word of God tells us. And in that civil environment during Israel and Judah's time, a man's life was to be taken for taking a man's life, right? Capital punishment. Which, by the way, America would be better off if we followed the Bible on that. We don't, and it's why our crime rates and everything else are a mess. I'm not going to park there this morning. But did that, but didn't go too far with it. And he's to be commended about that. He takes over the throne of Judah. Things are in disarray. He brings justice right away. And then Edom has been a thorn in Judah's side. And he is ready to deal with Judah. And so we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and Sean Hine, could you read verses 6 through 8?
He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down.
Okay, so if you're taking notes this morning in your notes about King Amaziah now, your first point is his reliance on man. His reliance on man. So he's dealing with Edom. Edom's been a thorn in Judah's side, and we need to deal with these people, but we need numbers. Now the scripture tells us, 2 Chronicles 25, Judah had 300,000. Okay? He recruited 300,000. But evidently, he didn't think those were good enough numbers to go against Edom, because the Bible says he hired another 100,000 from Israel. Like, numbers are going to get me there. Well, no, they're not, was God's answer. You look in verse number 7. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. To wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. Now watch this. Here's 400,000, right? 300,000 in Judah, 100,000 over here in Israel. And the man of God comes and says, Amaziah, cut 25%. You don't need them. In fact, you are, watch this, linking with people who, according to the scripture, the Lord is not with them. Now that's a powerful phrase. The Lord is not with them. I want to sound some guards this morning that we have to be very careful that we don't think that the cause of some of the things that we fight for is greater than the company of who we're going to run to get there. In our day, obviously, we're fighting some things in America that are real, that have morals to them, that have things near and dear to our heart. And the way our political system is set up, we kind of depend on numbers. Right? We need numbers. Amaziah was thinking, if we're going to defeat Edom, we need numbers. And please couch what I say with this. I'm not preaching against being involved. I'm not preaching and voicing your concerns or speaking up about a good candidate in politics. In fact, a week from this Tuesday night, we're having a primary election informational meeting in the other building, so you can learn about the candidates and some of the conservative candidates that are going. But may I remind us all that people that are without God are not going to win the day. They may be conservative, but that doesn't mean they're going to win the day. Israel was without God. And Amaziah was told by the prophet, don't tie in too tight. Don't go to battle with these people. Why? Because God's not with them. And then what did he say? He said, for God hath power to help. And we need to be reminded that ultimately the battles that we do fight, God will ultimately have to bring victory. That's important for us to understand. The counsel from the man of God was, don't join in. But man, 100,000 soldiers are gone. How are we going to win this? For God hath power to help. Now, I asked myself as I was reading through this, what would have happened had they had the 100,000 and Amaziah had not listened to the council and they took those 100,000 with them? Maybe God still allows them to win the battle. But there would have been corruption. Those 100,000 would have been rubbing shoulders with these 300,000 people that are without God, with people that are with God. But the cause is great. Yeah. They're good causes, but they don't negate considering the company. Let me say some things that I want to warn all of us about. If there's a political gathering and it's on Sunday and you miss church because of it, you have worshipped their God. You belong in church on Sunday. That's worship. And when we go and we go on their territory for their cause and we leave God behind, my friend, that is a problem. We are insulting our God. We need to be reminded that God comes first and ultimately our trust is in God. And gatherings, man, if I can go to a gathering, I can be a support somewhere, wonderful. But I understand, I'm not going to worship their gods. Somebody was in GOP meetings a few years ago, and they were trying to have impact and, you know, be a help. And they found out that when they gathered together for these meetings, they drank. Not lemonade. Liquor. And the person was a believer, and the person spoke up on it and said, "Hey, I'd like to be part of these gatherings, but I can't be part of this." Then find another group. Then that's fine. Because I'm not worshiping your God, which is liquor. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful that the cause doesn't trump the company. God said, "I'd rather it be smaller and purer and people that love me than I would for you to join with this group over here that have other gods that they worship, because in the end it will corrupt you." And Amaziah listened and sent 100,000 home. Tough decision. Important for us to understand that. By the way, just because someone uses the name of God does not mean they worship God in spirit and in truth. Please do not be deceived that because somebody says, we look to God. Well, how does their personal life look to God? Because that can just be a generic statement to be inclusive, to bring in a crowd that loves the Lord. So we need to be aware of that. By all means, vote. By all means, be informed. But understand the inherent danger in this text. Mingling together in order to form a power base cannot be a substitute for depending upon the power of God. Involvement, important, but prayer, more powerful. If we're going to be involved, let me challenge all of us. Because we got primaries coming up. We got elections coming up. We got amendments coming up. Read about an amendment this week. We got abortion issues going before the Supreme Court, all of these things. And we ought to be involved. But let me say this. If you're going to be involved, you're going to write letters, you're going to make phone calls, you spend just as much time in prayer. Because power is where? It's not in letter writing. It's in God. And we've got to be reminded about that. And so, just the reliance on man, and he was confronted on that. Number two, his response to the prophet. His response to the prophet. Look at verse number 7 of 2 Chronicles. Verse number 9 of 2 Chronicles 25. "And Amaziah said to the man of God, 'But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel?' And the man of God answered, 'The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Basically, Amaziah's initial response to the prophet was this: man, we've already spent the money. What are we going to do? What are we going to do in this situation? I mean, we've kind of already made the league, so to speak. They're going to be part of our army. Interesting that the response of the prophet was, again, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amaziah made a tough decision, but a good one. Sometimes we get down paths in our lives that are, they're not good. We're invested. We've made a commitment in some area to a community issue, to a community thing that was a good thing, but we didn't understand that it was going to affect our family in the way that it did, or pull us out of services, or in some way hurt us. We couldn't see the whole picture, and Amaziah couldn't hear either. You know, what seemed to be an okay decision, now I'm down the road a ways, and what do I do now? I mean, I probably should reverse course. I probably should get off this path, get back on the right path, but I said I would. And what do we do? And the prophet said, hey, Amaziah, follow through on the decision. The Lord will take care of that other stuff. And sometimes we get ourselves in tough places that we have to step back, or we need to get off a path. We need to get out of a situation that is hurting us or hurting our family or whatnot. But how do I do that? And I think those four words, the Lord is able, are very helpful in those situations. Thirdly, his reward. So we see his response. We see his reliance on man initially. His reward, verse number 11. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. Another 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they were all broken in pieces, children of Seir being Edom. Reward! Just like the prophet said it would happen. God is powerful. He'll take care of it. They'll fall before you. Hey, God has more than enough to provide. If you're up against a tough decision, can I give you some encouragement this morning? From Amaziah's life, God rewards us when we make tough decisions that are right. This is probably not a popular decision. I can imagine meeting with the leaders within Judah. Hey, you know, we got 100,000 coming down from Israel to help us from plan the strategy of 400,000 men, and then having to come back and say, oh, guys, I don't know how to tell you this, but we don't have those 100,000. You know, it wasn't just a decision on him, it was a decision for all of Judah. But he made a tough decision, and God rewarded it. They still went to battle, and God took care of it. And they slew, the Bible says, that they all were broken in pieces. This people, this children of Seir. Did Judah win the battle of against Edom without Israel's 100,000? Yes. And what was avoided? A mixed multitude. That's what was avoided. A battle with powerless people. An idolatrous influence upon Judah. Can I ask you a question this morning from this lesson? Are there links in your life that you think you need for the purpose of companionship or the cause of support or as an object of mercy in your life or as a link for your business? Could you move forward for God without relying on them? Could you do that? Ask yourself where that link, where that friendship, where that association, where that relationship is leading. Ask God that question. Where is this leading? And you just might hear from the Spirit of God, son, daughter, I'm able. You don't have to lean on that. I'm able. That's what Amaziah heard. So we're going in a good direction, man. Amaziah has listened to counsel. Things have gone well. They've experienced victory and success. And then 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Fourth in your notes is ruin. His ruin. His demise. Amaziah's downfall. His collapse. His failure. Look at 2 Chronicles 25, verse number 14, if you will. The Bible says, now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites. Man, victory. God's on the mountain. God's powerful. Praise, glory be to God. That he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods. And bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet. Here's the mercy again before judgment. Here's the warning. Here's the Amaziah, let me help you. Let me put somebody in your path that's going to speak truth to you. And he does. Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Wait, let me reason with you, Amaziah. Your God just delivered those people into your hand. Your God. And now you're taking their gods, which could not deliver you into their hands, and you're making their gods your gods. Amaziah, this is backward thinking. Oh, let's think. Man, last time the man of God came to him, what'd he do? Initially, how am I going to do this? We're invested. But eventually he responded right. Ha! Amaziah is for sure going to respond right on this, right? I mean, we understand we all get backward in our thinking from time to time and need truth to make that difference in our lives and help us go in the right path. Not so this time. Verse 16, and it came to pass as he talked with him that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this. And what? Hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Can I give you this? He won a national battle. But he lost a personal battle. Sometimes we might win a work battle, but lose an inner battle. Sometimes we might see victory in some other area of our lives, area of our country, but lose a personal battle. And now Amaziah gets steeped in idolatry. Notice he set them up to be his gods. And he bowed down himself before them. Do you think believers today face any temptation to set up things in their lives to be their gods? And bow to them? Like materialism? Like laziness? Like fame? Like security, like pride, like pornography, like smoking, like bowing down to gossip. Say, I can't believe it, preacher. I can't believe he just won victory and now he's turning to idols. Yeah, I couldn't believe that either, except I know that's exactly the things that we deal with. We get victory, and then we're so easy to bow so quickly to bow? His success led to idolatry. Number two, his success led to inflation. Inflation. We're almost finished. A couple minutes to wrap up here. Verse number 15, 2 Chronicles 25. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver thine own people out of thine hand? Good question. And Amaziah could have responded right there, You're right, I wasn't thinking. I need to backtrack. But he didn't. In fact, the man of God said, God's going to destroy you because you did this and you didn't hearken. I think it's interesting that he included both of those because he did it. He was going to be destroyed because he did it and he did not hearken unto the man of God. You know, God can work with people that make mistakes, that get into sin, if they'll hearken. But can I say this about inflation or pride in our lives? Arrogance results in being unapproachable. He wasn't approachable. Man of God went to him. Man of God tried to help him. Man of God spoke truth with him, reasoned with him. Simple, obvious reason. Man, if you can just think right on this, you can make it right before God. We can move forward. Nope. And arrogance, inflation makes us unapproachable. In 2 Kings 14, it says it this way, verse number 11, but Amaziah would not hear. That's being unapproachable, my friend. He would not hear. And it's the result. Arrogance results in stubbornness. Lots of good things in Amaziah's life up until this point. Last 15 years of his reign, his kingdom was never the same. His latter years resulted in seclusion and dread, had a tragic ending. And he was off the scene. In fact, a conspiracy was made against him. We read in verse number 27. And he went to Lachish to hide, and they killed him there. Could have turned out different. Could have, if he just would have listened. My friend, in your life, my life, sometimes the great thing we need is just if we would listen. If we would listen. He did not, and it led to his ruin.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh.